I have a couple prayer requests for this morning. The first one, they wish not to be named. Let's pray for the young lady who lost her baby at 7 months pregnant this week. And then pray for the family of baby London who went to be with our Lord Jesus.
Okay. Father, we come to you once again. We always come in thanksgiving, always in praise, even when our hearts are heavy. And there's a young lady out there who has a heavy heart, who lost her baby after 7 months, and that's a long time to carry a child and not get to see the birth. And so be with her. Assure her how much you love her. Bring her back to us with renewed faith. Lord, this is a trial. It's a tragedy. It hurts. So be with her and grant her peace that goes beyond what she can understand so that she may continue her life in hope, in joy, and all those things that right now she can't even think about. But Lord, stay with her and call upon the body of Christ to come and comfort and assure her. And we also pray for the baby London, who is with our Lord. We know is an innocent, never born, but for whatever reason, this child is with you, and we know that it will never know a tear in its eye. So Lord, be with the baby and be with the mother, and Lord, give the mother a testimony that she may share one day. In the name of Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Before we go and start sharing our sponsors today, Pastor Tom, I would like for you to share about your church, your location, times of services, and anything that you would like to add.
Okay, we are the Burns Flat Cumberland Presbyterian Church. Most people call us the CP Church because they don't want to spell out Cumberland Presbyterian. We have received offerings, but people that want to give to the church that don't go there, and they'll put down Columbian Presbyterian, all kinds of stuff. But the CP Church is what we're known by. On the side of the building, it says God's Love in Action. Headphone calls, they say, are you at that? And it said, the Love Church? Yeah, that one. I said, that's what they know us by. We are just north of Burns Flat's one and only traffic light. And I always like to put a plug in for a traffic light. We have all three colors now. It's two left turn signals. We're big time. Don't put us in now because we have all three colors on our traffic light. Just north of there and on the east side of the road, we have Sunday services at 9 and 11. That's when we worship. A contemporary service at 9, traditional at 11. We do a Sunday school hour. I like to call it Christian education because it's for all ages. In fact, the adults enjoy the Christian education very much. When we get back from Labor Day, I'm going to head out of town for a couple of weeks. I'm going to have a couple of people fill the pulpit. When we get back from Labor Day, we will begin a study of Genesis. And Genesis is a book with 50 chapters, so it's going to take us a year. We're going to go through Genesis. Oh, man, Genesis. There's really some good stories in Genesis that will help you understand the New Testament more. And also, as we go through, I will be reminding people what I reminded in the first part of this message. God loves you. This whole story is important to us because God loves you. Now, we're supposed to go out and love one another, but the thing that will hold it all together is, okay, that's some weird stuff there in Genesis. God loves you. So that's what we're going to do when we get back. Tonight, we were going to give out 78 backpacks to kids who came and signed up last week at school supplies. That's one of the things we do. Yesterday, we fed all the teachers in Burns Flat. Mm-hmm. Said, we want to get y'all off to a good start, let you know we're behind you, we're encouraging you, because teaching's kind of a tough job sometimes. And we also prayed that the children would come with that teachable spirit they need to learn, and that the teachers would be there for them as encouragers and all the things they're supposed to be. After Labor Day, we pick up our Wednesday nights again. It's at 6 to 7:30. We ask people don't show up way early. We are not prepared for that. We're prepared at 6. We feed people, come in, we do classes or worship or whatever. And it's always a good time. People drag in, say, man, I was so tired when I got here, and I'm so filled when I leave. Well, that happens when you are worshiping the Lord or studying His Word, and it's a really good thing that will start the 14th of September at 6 o'clock, our Wednesday nights. There'll be some other things we'll do throughout the year. We feed the football players at times. We have fifth quarters where after football games we invite the high school over to come and have a good place to go and hang out and have a hot dog or a s'more or whatever we do. Sometimes if the weather's cold enough, we get a little snow. We'll do a fire pit and let them make all that fun stuff that people my age used to do all the time without a second thought. But we'll do some of that. And we just finished our VBS in July. Not as big a turnout as before, but it's kind of coming back from the pandemic. Pandemic, if you must. But to me, we jumped through too many hoops. But it's coming back. Things are building up. And it's coming around again. I do challenge everyone who goes to the Cumberland Presbyterian Church, go out and invite someone. People sit at home and they watch worship on Facebook, and watching worship is not really worshiping. You can worship at home. And when we're doing this, we had 5 Sundays through the whole coronavirus thing where we shut down live services. But after that, people said, well, some of us will come back. So we opened it up, and when we started getting people back, 40, 50, 60, I'd say, when you were watching this on Facebook at home, did you worship or did you just watch? And I said, here's my truth teller. When I said, let's stand for the benediction, how many of you stood? And they raised their hands and said, oh, we stood. They were hungry for worship. And that's what it should be. We're coming back from that now, and hopefully the other churches are. We're praying for all the churches in the town that they will have a filled pulpit, that they'll have their pews filled, that people will be coming to worship in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
And we are praying that the community will be strengthened again, because this is no time for anyone to go through this world, go through this life, and not have a family of faith. You say, yeah, but I know Jesus. I pray to Jesus. You need a family of faith. You need a family of encouragement. So whether it's the Burns Flat Cumberland Presbyterian Church, the Baptist Church across the street, Assembly of God by the football field, there's 3 very strong churches in Burns Flat that will welcome you with open doors, that will share the truth that comes from the Bible. I don't think they'll sugarcoat anything, but they're not going to be mean to you. They're going to say, you know, this is a time to have a real relationship with God. This isn't the time to be sitting at home saying, I prayed last week. What's the big deal? No, this is a time to draw nearer to God. So that's a little bit about our church. And I also like to include the community because it's a good community.
Yeah.
When we ask people to donate food, they donate food. We say, if you've got a family got burned out, they need clothes, they donate clothes. It's still good to live in Western Oklahoma in a family of faith, because things like that still happen. I know there's a lot of weirdness going on in the world. And some of it's reaching into our small community. But we're still stronger in a lot of places. We like to stand in what we know from God's Word. We like to speak the truth in a spirit of love, not in condemnation. And we like to share God's love. And that, we saw that yesterday feeding teachers. The people that put it on, because we've got a lot of people who are teachers. We say, we don't want the teachers cooking for the teachers. We want them to have a day. But the people put it on just poured their hearts into it. Said, We love this gift of service, which is, I think, what most of the folks in my congregation, not my congregation, but the one that I serve, belongs to the Lord.
Amen.
But they have the gift of service. We like to serve. We like to help. And they know that's their gift. You know, I'd like to get 10 or 20 evangelists in there, too. But we have the gift of service. That's what we do. So that's a little bit about our church. 9 and 11 on Sunday, 10 for Christian education. Pick up Wednesdays at 6 o'clock on the 14th. And check us on Facebook. Just go to Cumberland Presbyterian Church or Burns Flat CPC, I think is what it's on Facebook. CumberlandPresbyterianChurch.com takes you to our blog-based website. BurnsFlat.org is the easy one to remember. It will also take you there. It's redirected there so that everyone can say, okay, well, I want to see what's going on. And we post what we need to. It's what we're doing in the community and those sort of things. But every Sunday, you can come and worship, and you will be welcomed. So how's that?
That's
awesome.
I can
go through all that again if you want.
Oh, you're good. And I just want y'all to know that if you don't have a home church, I want to encourage you to go visit Pastor Tom's church. I've been there, and they will love on you, and they truly do show you Christ-like love. You will be blessed. Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. And again, our sponsor for today is Joshua's Crossing Ministries, located here at the Promise Center in Elk City. The Refuge Church, now located... They changed. They moved. They are now located at 18304 East 1140 Road. You have to put the East 1140 Road. You have to put East or it won't get you there. and that's located in Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey will bless you. And then Prophetic Voice Ministries, located at 616 North Locust Avenue here in Elk City. Apostle Casey Elliott is an awesome man of God. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. Guidelines are principles and rules that you live by. They're based on standards bigger than you. They were established before you and will continue after you. They are not controlled by what you do, but directly connected to why you do. They may seem to be a limit to your life, but are proven by the life that follows. Why you do is much more important than what you do.
Whether you've been thinking about sizing down or have some land or home you want to sell, Grants Auction and Realty should be your first choice. Maybe you have an estate that needs to be liquidated. Grants Auction and Realty will get you the best price. Grants Auction is your complete liquidation professional. Grants Auction locks and catalogs every item. They don't charge you more, they just make you more. Grants Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269, or find them on the web at www.grantsauction.com.
Barber Dyson Ford Lincoln wants your service business no matter what. This is Rhett McAbee, Service Director at Barber Dyson Ford in Elk City. At Barber Dyson, we want your parts and service business no matter what you're driving, no matter where you bought it. Bottom line, we want your parts and service business. We hang our hat on service with world-class service riders, factory-trained technicians, and knowledgeable parts staff. Give us a shot today at Barber Dyson Ford Lincoln in Elk City.
Experience the difference, Barber Dyson Ford's where you save.
You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. Our guest for today is Pastor Tom Spence from the Cumberland Presbyterian Church in Burns Flat.
You want to spell that?
No. His title for today is Go Eat Popcorn.
All right. So we've been on this little mnemonic, Go Eat Popcorn, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. We've done Galatians, Ephesians, now it's on to Philippians and Colossians. So if we get into Philippians, you got to begin the letter understanding what Paul's already been talking about in his other letters, that salvation's a done deal. God did it, okay? It's a done deal. We didn't have to do it. God did it. Jesus paid it all. A little song that goes with that, all to him I owe, right? Mm-hmm. Some of us old-timers might know that one, yeah. But Jesus did pay it all. It's all from God. Nobody can boast about their salvation, but in response... Now we get into response. In response to this done deal salvation, we often look at ourselves and we find ourselves to be a work in progress. God, you did all this for me. You made me right with you. You made me perfect with you. You did all this for me, but now it seems like I'm not there yet. I'm still working on this. What's going on? Yeah, God did it all, but we are something of a work in progress. It's the work's done. The work on the cross accomplished everything, but we're still trying to live up to what God made us to be, to the creation, the creature that God made us to be. And sometimes it's like, I don't know if I'm getting there or not. And we feel like, I don't know what's going on. But we need to remember that the good work that God began in us, he will bring to completion. He's already done it in his time. Okay, we just live through this life. We get our experience. We take our experience. We learn. We grow. All these things. We are a work in progress. We do have a lot to do to live up to the person that God already made us to be. So early in this letter, of the Philippians, Paul proffers the ultimate win-win. He says for him to die right now would just be, you know, that would be total bliss. I'd be with the Lord. My mission would be over. I'd be with the Lord. There'd be no more suffering, no more thrown in jail, no more stonings, no more getting run out of town everywhere I went. Yeah, I'd be with the Lord. He said, but if I went on living one more day, I could preach the gospel to more people. Some more might be saved. And that's, you know, Paul said, I became all things all people, so some might be saved. Paul had a pretty big ego, I think, but he knew he couldn't reach everyone, but he could do his part. He could do his part. Some might be saved. And it's like, okay, well, how did Paul word this? He said it in Greek. He wrote it in Greek, but it comes out this way. To live is Christ, to die is gain. To live is to continue my mission, taking the word of Christ to the world. To die would be gain. My race would be over. I would be with the Lord. There'd be that crown of righteousness waiting on me. You know, it'd be all these good things waiting on me. But Paul says, as long as the Lord leaves me here one more day, I'm going to fulfill the best mission ever. God gave me the best job ever to take the good news to the lost. He also gave us that job, Just we do it in a different time. But to live is Christ, to die is gain. It's what we should remember. Those are Paul's words, and should be the same for us. You know, I you may not know this, but I'm a little ornery sometimes.
No way.
No way. Yeah. Thank you. But about once a year, I'll stand in front of the congregation and say, if you are ready for Jesus to come back right now, raise your hand, raise it high. Are you ready for him to come back? I say, okay, put your hands down. Now, if you've talked to everyone that needs to hear about the Lord, raise your hand high, and the hands don't go up as quick. I said, you know, it should be the exact same number of hands. If we've done all the work God gave us to do, we should be ready for him to come back. But we always know, oh, I think there's one more person I should have talked to. Maybe tomorrow God will put another person in my path. And it's like, okay, if I'm here, I have work to do. It's purposeful work. Work comes from the Lord. Just like Paul, to live is Christ, to share Christ, to share what I know. Might get mean looks for it in 2022. Okay, Paul might have got stoned, but we don't get stoned too much. People hate you on Facebook or something. You know, it's not as dangerous as it once was in this country. In other countries, yeah, Sometimes it is. But it's to live is Christ. I can share Christ. To die, I'm with the Lord. I call it the ultimate win-win. Either way, I'm sharing Christ or I'm with the Lord. Win-win. You know, you can't go wrong. If you're with the Lord, it's like, okay, he's wiped every tear from my eye. Okay, I'm there. I'm celebrating. Might be a little down if he takes me on a Monday or Tuesday, you know, because I've already started my sermon. You know, I won't get to preach that, but God probably didn't need to hear it. Yeah, he already knew what I was going to preach. But no, it's good. I'll be out there and I'll be sharing the Lord. And, if I live, if I'm not, I'm with the Lord. How can you complain about that? So Paul uses the words, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Puts a few more in between there, but that's the essence. Every Sunday morning, I warm up our congregation. Are we ready to worship? Yeah, okay, to live is Christ, and they'll say to die is gain. To live is Christ, to die is gain is normally our response, and sometimes we say it all together. But it's good stuff to know that we are in a win-win situation. We're either working for the Lord with the best job ever, or we're with the Lord. And some good words, but we should finish by thinking about other words that we find in Philippians, and everybody knows them. Every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and some people beat their hand on the table when they say it. They think, God's going to get you. I look at it a little bit differently. I think one day the blindness of the world will be lifted, and everyone, whether they're headed to heaven or they're headed to hell or whatever the situation is, they're going to see Jesus Christ is Lord. They may not be living that, okay? But I think the truth will be revealed to everyone. It won't be a forced confession. God could make everyone confess that now. But I think it will be the blindness being lifted, everyone seeing the truth, and going to say, what those folks were telling me is right. Jesus Christ is Lord. And it will be a statement of the truth. It will be a true confession, not a forced confession. How that's going to affect people, I don't know. Okay, but a lot of people use a big hammer to say, you better believe. Every day, you know, one day every knee will bow. So, yeah, well, that's true, but I think it'll be out of truth. But remember how the sentence is. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess to the glory of God. What would bring the most glory to God? How about revelation of the truth to everyone? And I think that's what people are going to see. And they're going to say, yeah, I see it now. Jesus Christ is Lord. Hopefully they have professed him ahead of time, or at least they have a little time at the end they can profess him. I don't know how all that's going to go. My guidance is don't wait. You know, amen. Seek the truth now. The truth is Jesus is Lord. But one day everyone's going to see it. Everyone will see it, and that will be to the glory of God. And that's why you don't need to beat your fist on the table and point fingers at it. Every knee will bow. It's like, I think it's more like, out of revelation of the truth, every knee will bow, every tongue confess, Jesus is Lord. So that's me. That's my take on it. Y'all can drill down on it and think about it at home, but finally, everyone will get it. Everyone will finally get it. This letter brings us to our response to the gift of God that we call salvation, and Paul says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. He does not say work for your salvation. He says work it out, live it out. The salvation itself is a gift. Your life is a gift. What are you going to do about it? So he said, what are you going to do about it? This is the most important thing you'll ever do. And I use the example of a father with his firstborn child, because it says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. If you're a dad, now mom's carried this child for 9 months. Okay, but if you're a dad, you pick up your child for the... You're kind of shaking a little. This is a whole life in your hands, especially your first one. And it's like, that's fear and trembling. I have a whole life in my hands. Well, Paul's saying the same thing for your own life. God gave you your life. He put it in your hands. What are you going to do? Live it out with fear and trembling. Live it out as the most important thing you will ever do. What do you mean the most important thing? It's a response to the grace, the life that God gave you back, the life that God says you can have forever. So your response to that is the most important thing that you will do. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It's the most important thing you'll ever do. Our response to God's incredible gift of mercy and grace that we receive through faith is the most important thing we're going to do for the rest of our lives, for the rest of our times in these bodies, on this planet. How I respond to that grace, that's the most important thing. Yeah, but I got a baseball game, I got a job interview, I got this. How am I responding to God's grace? How am I living the life as I go to that job interview or go to that baseball game or go to any of a thousand things in one day? Am I responding to that grace as the most important thing I'm going to do? Do people see Christ in me? Do they see the love of God? Am I known as his disciple by my love? Those are the important things. Those are our responses. And we do have an abundance of opportunities. It's not like, well, there's nothing for me to do. Oh, yeah, it's all around us. It's all around us to respond to love for one another as we live out our salvation. We have opportunities. We have an abundance of opportunities, I like to say. It's not that, well, I only had one opportunity today. No, we weren't looking. There were plenty of chances. We're reminded, Paul reminds us, we are citizens of heaven. This place isn't our home. We're going through here. We're going through here with purpose. God gave us purpose. We live on with purpose. And so Paul says, as you live in this time with purpose, press on. Press on. It's going to get tough, but press on. He's like, keep doing your mission. Keep doing what God sent you to do. Remember, this is not our home. We belong in heaven. Our mission is in this world. When I think I might have told this a couple times before, when I was sent to Iraq as a military observer, I was sent by myself, and no one told me how to do my job. Just went over there. So you're a Marine officer, you know what to do. But here's one piece of counsel. Don't go native. Don't adopt the native customs. You are an American. You're an American officer. You're a Marine officer. You know your expectation. Go be who you are. And that's what Paul is telling Christians. He says, you're a citizen of heaven. You belong to God. You're living for his purpose. You're responding to his grace. Go do the things you know to do. Don't go native. Press on. When things get tough in this world, press on. This is not your home. You have a mission. You have a destination. You are a citizen of heaven. Just keep pressing on. Press on. Amen. And then Paul noted that so many had made ad hominem attacks on him, attacking his person, not what his theology. He said, I'm better than that guy. I'm better than that guy. You know, Paul wasn't one of the original 12. You know, Paul this and that. And they're just beating on him. And Paul said, don't play that game. I don't play that game. But then he says, but if I did, I got a resume of all resumes, you know, tribe of Benjamin, circumcised seventh day, you know, I was a Pharisee, abiding by the law, flawless. I mean, I was persecuting what is now the church because of the law. I was doing all those things. So if they think they've got a resume for those things, mine's better. Mine's better. But I don't want to play that game. And Paul says, I count all those gold accolades, all those things I put up on my wall as manure when it comes to my relationship with God. They're not good for much. Okay, they look good on the wall. They impress people when they walk in. You're all, oh, that's cool stuff, you know. But they don't count for anything as far as my relationship with God. The only thing that counts there is my relationship with God through Christ Jesus. It's all through Christ. So Paul says, I could play this back and forth game with him if I wanted. I could probably win, you know, because I got some pretty cool stuff. But it doesn't count. But only thing that counts is my relationship with Christ. And then Paul says, remember, our joy comes from the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. Paul thought it was important. He said, I'm going to say it twice. Again, I say rejoice. We rejoice in the Lord. We talked about our source of joy when we went through this kind of chapter by chapter. And our source of joy in the Lord is our gladness that comes from living in the favor of the Lord. We're not, I think I'll be happy in, you know, the baseball team I support today, or I'll be happy in the fact I get a bigger paycheck. Paul said, be happy in the Lord. Your gladness comes because you live in the favor of the Lord. The Lord gave you mercy. He gave you grace. You live in his favor. That's where our joy comes from. We live in the favor of the Lord. And there's a theological term for that. I've mentioned it before. Do you remember? Cool beans.
Cool beans.
Cool beans. That's some good stuff to live in the favor of the Lord. Paul didn't use that term. He wasn't quite up to speed on the modern theology. But no, it's cool beans. We live in the favor of the Lord. So Paul says another thing. Don't worry. Don't be anxious about anything. He said, be anxious for nothing, everything, prayer and petition, thanksgiving, present your requests to God, peace of God that guards guards your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Okay. The peace that goes beyond our understanding is what Paul's telling us. You can't understand it, but you can receive it. We don't have to understand what's going on in the world to receive God's peace. And, you know, be anxious for nothing was the message. Throughout the Bible, we get other messages that say, don't worry. If you were in Burns Flat when I preached this chapter, I sang four lines out of Don't Worry, Be Happy. You know, Bobby McFerrin, the old people knew the song, but young kids are like, what's he doing? Yeah, don't worry, be happy. Yeah, don't worry. Our job is to go to God with thanksgiving first. God, I got some heavy stuff I got to talk to you about. I'm going to come to you in thanksgiving first because I do see everything you've already done for me. And then by the time you tell God your troubles, you kind of like, I'm feeling pretty good already. You know, now there's still stuff I got to work out, still stuff that I'm asking God to help me with, still all that stuff, but I'm not doing it with a heavy load. You know, Jesus said, come to me, all who you are weary, heavy burdened, I give you rest. Then he also says, I want you to take my yoke. I want you to take what I've taught you and learn from me how to deal with this. And that's the important thing that, you know, Paul and Jesus are saying the same thing. He's got it. He's got it. Just give him, you know, what's heavy on your heart. He's got it. Now, he does want you to do some things. Yeah. Don't worry being one of them. You know, no one ever gained anything by worry. But Jesus is saying, I'll teach you how. I'll teach you how. Paul's saying, go to the Lord. Start with thanksgiving. Prayer. Give me your requests, your petitions. And the peace of God that guards all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Isn't that what we're looking for? Is to have that peace that's guarded by God. It's like, well, I got the solution to my problem. I don't have peace. No, you want peace. Yeah. The solution may or may not come the way you wanted it, but we need to do those. Okay. Paul follows that up, and he says, okay, sometimes it's going to be hard for you to figure out what to do. So I'm going to give you some things to think on, whether it's pure, noble, praiseworthy, all those things. Paul gave us a list, but he used a mean word for 2022, which is think. Think on these things, because we live in a time governed by red herrings, non sequiturs, logical fallacies, purely emotional appeals. And Paul says, what I want you to do instead of all that is think. God gave you a sound mind. Think. And when we do that, we see better solutions. Jesus says, I'll show you, you know, how to take my yoke. I'll show you how to learn from me. And Paul says, one of those ways is we think. We actually use the mind God gave us. Don't jump on every emotional bandwagon that passes by, because there's probably not a lot of truth in it, and you're going to find yourself empty down the road. Think. And think is a good word. I'm going to tell you, despite what the world's telling you now, which is just follow the narrative, just do what you're told. You know, don't think. Yeah, Paul says think, and it's a good thing. So I'm going to jump onto the Colossians, see if we can get that in here before we wrap up. And it begins with, Christ is the image of the invisible God. No one's ever seen God. We haven't actually seen Christ, but we know him from the scriptures. Think back to when, before Christ went to the cross, and heard the disciples say, we want to see the Father. And Jesus said, don't you get it? You've seen me. You've seen the Father. I'm in the Father. He's in me. I want the same relationship with you. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And then after the resurrection, Jesus comes to the locked room. Thomas sitting there. Jesus says, hey, here I am. And everyone's happy. They tell Thomas. Thomas said, not until I see the holes in his hands. Not until I put my finger there. So Jesus comes back a few days later, says, Thomas, do what you got to do. And he just falls down and says, my Lord, my God, I get it. I don't need to do all that. I get it. And then Jesus tells Thomas, but he was also telling the others in the room. He says, you believe because you saw. And that's not just Thomas. The other one saw before. You believe, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. That's us. We have not seen yet. We believe. We've taken this message of faith. We've believed it. And we are blessed for it. Okay, we didn't walk. Some people say it'd be easier if I'd walk with Jesus for 3 years. Maybe not. We have the whole story. We're blessed to have the whole story. If you're walking with Jesus, you're thinking, what's he going to do next? What does this mean? And I think the disciples were kind of dumbfounded till the Spirit came and showed them what had happened. We are blessed that we have the story and that we can believe in it. And if you do believe, Jesus says you're blessed. You have not seen, but you have believed. All right. Next, we're reminded we are redeemed and reconciled. It's more than just being saved. It's like we're all made right. Everything's good. God made it good. And you look around at the world and say, this world doesn't look reconciled. But guess what? The work to make it reconciled has been done. One day, God will finish the work in us, in the world, and it will be the wonderful place it was meant to be. What comes next is kind of a throwback to the Galatians and others that were being courted by fancy arguments. And Paul says again, do not be deceived. There's one gospel, you heard it, stick to it. There's one gospel, you heard it, stick to it. And Paul says, it doesn't get more complicated as you go. It's as simple as it gets. One gospel, you heard it, stick to it. We talked about law and written codes and invoice for our sin. What we should have walked away with from all this long discussion is man's rules must not get in the way of God's love. The rules that people come up with should not get in the way of God's love. Now, the third chapter had a couple umbrella-type pieces of counseling. I like them, big, broad counseling. One of them is, whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord. If you're going to do it, commit it to the Lord. Say, God, I'm doing this. I'm doing it for you. I'm going to do the best I can. I want you to be happy. Put it in the name of the Lord. I'm going to tell you, you probably can't go rob a bank in the name of the Lord. That's just not one of the things that, and Paul elsewhere says, if you got a bad job like stealing, get a new job. So get a job that you can do in the name of the Lord, then do it in the name of the Lord. Next one is, whatever you do, work at it as if you're working for the Lord, not for men. Oh, man, I got a terrible boss. I can't stand that guy. I can't stand that gal. Okay, that's fine. They may not like you either, but you can still work at your job as if you're working for the Lord. It's the Lord Christ that we serve. How we do our job is based on our relationship with God. And then there's one little last thing out of the Colossians. It says we need to live in love, we need to speak in love, we need to talk about grace, but be a little salty. What does that mean? That means have eyes to see what's going on in the world. Because there are people out there who do want to trip you up. They do want to bring you down. And so Paul says, live in grace as much as you can. Go love as much as you can, but have eyes to see. There are people out there that do not have your best interest in mind. Look for them. Don't do what they do. But you need to know it when you see it. Long ago, far away, went to Karis Negotiating. It was probably 30 years ago, whatever. Maybe not quite that long. They taught us all these tactics, negotiating tactics. They were 100% manipulative, how to manipulate the other person. And at the end of it, they taught us win-win, how to do a win-win negotiation. And they said the only one that we endorse is win-win. But you need to know what the others look like because everyone else is going to try to use those on you. You have to have eyes to see what they were trying to do to manipulate you into a bad deal. Well, Paul says, live grace, live love, live all these things, but have eyes to see. There are those out there that were trying to trick you. Know it when you see it. Okay, you still live in grace, you still live in love, but don't get tricked by all those folks. So that's the 10,000-foot flyover. So how do I wrap that up? I'm going to give you a 20,000-foot flyover at supersonic speed. Everybody ready? Here we go. One gospel, one spirit, one Lord, one accord, salvation, 100% of God. Rejoice in the Lord always. Be anxious for nothing. Pray about everything. Start by being thankful. Think on good things. It's what you do with what God gave you, not your titles or accolades that count. Never lose sight of the fact that we are working for the Lord. Press on. Put on the full armor of God. Live in the fruit of the Spirit. Above all else, put on love. Talk and live grace, but be seasoned with salt. So there we are at 20,000 feet, supersonic. Amen.
Amen. Cool beans. Awesome sauce.
Wow.
You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. And for myself, Monica Lovell, for my grandson, Ethan, and from Pastor Tom Spence, y'all have a blessed Wednesday, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Let us pray, let us pray.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower@cableone.net. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com. Download the app. It's called The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere.